for Rochelle and Tina and Jim and all of you choir members that have been working on that, and parents that have put in the effort to help your kids learn that. Y'all just done a tremendous job today in setting a good example for others as far as our kids and our families today. I got an entry here from Mrs. Zimmerman on regarding Chelsea. And I knew that she had a bunch of good things going for her, but just for your information, she's an honor student, or was an honor student, at Centennial High School, and she's going to NAU on a scholarship. So that means we'll see up in northern Arizona, right, Chels? Cool. We just got done with Lisa Capo. She's Mr. Capo's daughter, has been up there attending school, and now she's moved on to California. But it's good to have those young people up there. So we'll get to see Chelsea up there, and she'll be studying environmental sciences and biology. And right now she's working for Hubbard Swim School as an instructor and a swim team coach. That's pretty cool. She was a lifeguard last year at camp. We'll miss her this year on that, because it's always an important role to play at camp. So congratulations, Chelsea. And I just, wow, time goes by so quickly. We're getting so old. I don't know. Some of us are, as I remember when Zimmerman's had this late arrival with their kids. And I had among our peers, we had, I think there were five of you, Harold Smith and Ole Kubik and you guys, and who else? Just a whole crop of people had a younger child about that time. And wow, they're all graduating now and in college, and that's amazing. Actually, the next Sabbath I'm here, we'll begin two series. I think I mentioned, but I established for my own goal as the pastor of the areas that I serve, thus for the congregation, to do series on marriage and family enrichment and on prophecy. So the next time I'll begin the series on marriage and family enrichment, and which will involve some seminars and various different things throughout the year. And the other one I'll begin on Revelation. So it's, do I have time? Anyway, I'll figure it out. We'll do something. And hopefully do it right. If you read announcements, I mentioned last time that since it's difficult to be in two places at once, I was in New Mexico last Sabbath, that I was going to give a late Father's Day message. And I wanted to do that today. We gave a Mother's Day message and covered what it's like to be a mother and things about motherhood. And now we're going to talk about fathers. Now, I'm not going to cover it in the same way, which I could, because everyone is not a father, of course, among the men. Some of you had fathers that were less than honorable. Some of you, as we talk about what a father is like and what a father should be, don't have that good example. Or maybe you have a father or are a father who wasn't a good example and now is, because you learned from mistakes. So there are a lot of aspects of fatherhood we could talk about, and not everyone is a perfect dad, but I want to talk about what it is that fathers want for their children. And I'm talking about in an ideal situation. And again, some of you didn't know fathers, but yet we do have the privilege of having our Heavenly Father to fill in those areas where our earthly fathers have not. And so the principles apply. And if you're a single mother who is working on raising your children, or divorced or whatever, the principles apply here, as we want to talk about today. But I want to start off by asking the question, what does Dad want for Father's Day? Now, yeah, it's a week late. And you might have gotten them that traditional tie. My one daughter bought me a gift certificate to REI, and another one sent me a video kind of like this and showing my grandkids and that type of thing. It's all kinds of things that fathers want for Father's Day, but what does he really want? Father's Day gifts can be transitory. We'll ask the question, what is a grad's best gift from Dad? Looking at it the other way. We've got 5 grads in the audience right now. And if your dad could give you the best gift possible, what would it be? When I graduated from college, took me that long, but my dad bought me a car. It was an old car. It was one that had been owned by an old couple. It was a Chevy. And it was much less than great. I was appreciative because it beat the bike. But the thing is, I have no idea where that gift is now, except in some hunk, and maybe you're driving it, you know, it was recycled from Japan or whatever. But whatever gift you might get, it's a little temporary. So what is really the best gift that you can get from a dad? Kids, what is the best gift you've ever had from your dad or could ever get from your dad? Sometimes you like things and you think about iPods or ePods or computers or whatever. What is the best gift ever from your dad? And kids, what would make your grandparents really, really happy? You might recognize those folks. That's my couple of redheaded grandkids, so Christensens don't need to feel alone on redheaded kids. But what would make your grandparents, you kids, very, very happy? Today I'm going to talk about the wisdom of the Father. Knowledge from generation to generation, speaking from the Proverbs. And I'm going to just focus on these few Proverbs, which are advice from a dad to his children. Now, here again, if you're a grandparent and your parents are long dead, or if you don't have that father relationship or whatever, this is also about God's advice to all of us. So whether from a dad to a child or whether from God to all of us, these things are very important, and they're the best gift you could have. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." I pulled these 4 generations from a picture off the internet somewhere. I have no idea who they are. You know, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. If you try to pull 5 generations, you won't see 5 generations of men. You'll see 5 generations of women. The guys die off, but just as a sidelight. But anyway, listen to my sons to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. There's kind of a plea here to please children, listen. This is what I want to give you. This is what I want for you. This is what I want you to take from me. Another generations, 4 generations, for I'm giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions. And I would imagine that this fellow, this one taken from the 70s, the guy would say, never wear pants like that. That might be some of the instruction that might be given from a father to his children. But really, we're talking about instructions from God. Biblical instruction, just like the instructions that were talked about here this afternoon, that your children were talking about, that you passed on to them, and now they're internalizing. That's exactly the type of thing that is being spoken of here. I'm giving you good guidance. Don't turn away. And every father wants their children to hear instruction from them. The foundation of the Proverbs are in God's Word. And so when we're talking about instruction, we're talking about biblically based instruction that the fathers have learned. And here again, your situation may not have involved that, depending on who your father was or is or whatever. But when a father is taking the word of God and then passing that on, it is the most valuable thing that they can give or that you can receive. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Bible-based. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding." It's when people begin leaning to their own understanding that problems come. When you base it on the Word of God, you're okay. Let's take a brief detour here to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, when the Ten Commandments are given, he says, verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or earth beneath or that's in the water under the earth. Don't bow down to them and serve them." He says, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't make something else an idol besides God's word. He is the one to be worshipped. That is your direction. And then he says, if you make something else your primary method of instruction, other than his word and his way, it goes on to say, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now it shows, because people lean to their own understanding, why you have family problems or why you come up with dysfunctional families, because they're not focused on the Word of God and making that their understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 6, it says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." God will show you which way to go. Now, when I talk about what is it that a parent wants for his children, wants them to go and get a scholarship to NAU, or they want you to go into culinary school, or they want you to do something that's positive and something that's serving others and something that's on a right path and a right track, and following God's way, and when you teach your children God's way, as has been obvious from what we learned today, is what you're doing, then things will go well. Wisdom is a father's legacy. I said, my dad passed on an old Chevy to me. Not very valuable. Again, it was appreciated at the time. But what is a value? What did your parents give you that could be of value? We gave graduation gifts to our children from the congregation, and it was the Word of God. And if they apply that Word of God, that's something they can take with them on into eternity, literally. Proverbs 4, verse 3 says, "When I was only a little boy, my parents' only son, my father would teach me. And he'd say, 'Remember what I say and never forget it. Do as I tell you and you will live.'" If you're still in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 in Exodus 20 says, "Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you." How many parents have lost children because their kids went on a joyride or got into drugs and ruined their lives or lost their lives because they didn't listen to their parents if their parents taught them the right way? But remember what I say, never forget it as long as you live. Do you remember some of the things that your parents passed on to you? Some of the old sayings that were given. My dad had a bunch of them. You know my dad, and some of them were maybe a little odd, but many of them were very life-changing. I remember one of the things that my dad said and still says, and in times of turmoil and stress and problems, and you wonder what's going on and why are they doing this or that, and my dad had an old saying that said, whatever it is, we'll have some of it. In other words, it's going to happen, and it's going on, and it's his way of saying, okay, we'll just deal with it. Don't blow out. Don't do something stupid. Whatever it is, we'll have some of it. I remember one saying my dad had to drive a point home because of what he observed. He said, one boy will do one boy's worth of work. Two boys will do a half boy's worth of work. That is because two boys are out and they're playing and throwing dirt clods at each other instead of working, as we learned about today. And I won't tell you all the trouble I got into for doing a half day's work. My dad would say, never borrow money. The borrower's servant to the lender. Now, that's a scripture, a principle. My dad always paid cash for everything and passed that on. And I'll tell you, it's a good thing to pass on. Remember what I say. Never forget. Do as I tell you. You know, the Heavenly Father said to Jesus, or about Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because he was doing those things that they had spoken of that were so important. My dad, on Craig's behalf here, my dad would say, when you're hunting, keep the safety on, the barrel pointed down. Never point your gun at anybody. You know, there are those who maybe didn't receive that instruction or did and didn't listen to it, because every once in a while, just heard one this last week about a couple of little kids and a 7-year-old girl, I think it was, that got shot because they pointed a gun at somebody, even in playing, cleaning a gun, assuming that it's empty. My dad said, always assume that you've got a bullet in the chamber. There are people that die cleaning their guns because they didn't listen. You know, when it says you will live long if you listen to some of these. You've got things that your dad told you, your mom told you, that are passed on, and they can give you life. There's a early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. My dad had a saying. He said, oh, you better get up. A lot of people die in bed. It's true. I mean, you don't want to be caught in bed. You might die. And then, of course, he would say, I need to apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And the Board of Education was fairly solid. You can go on with different sayings, but principles based upon the scripture are the important ones. Father's wisdom comes out in a lot of different ways. Here's a little clip. I didn't make it up, but I guess I fix that one right. We have more sound there.
There was a fur who had a dog, and Bingo was his name. Bingo!
Don't make me pull this car over! What is this?
What?
Everyone went to his own town to register, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary and was expecting a child. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, didn't we all learn something today, guys?
Yes, sir.
Wisdom can come in all shapes and sizes. Psalm 71, verse 18 says, even though I'm old and gray, don't leave me, God. You know, we all want to pass on something to our children, to our grandchildren. I want something to come from me that my grandkids will take with them and pass on to their kids and to their grandkids eventually. And here's the musings of someone who is older. And he said, I will tell the children about your power. I'll pass on what you've taught me about you and about life. And that's what I want to pass on. That's the most important gift that I can give to my children, to my grandchildren, to my great-grandchildren. I'll tell those who live after me about your might. I can tell stories about my grandfather who died many, many years ago and some of the characteristics that he had and the good character that he had with a third grade education and being the number one farmer in the area in Michigan and all kinds of things. And you can tell good stories, hopefully, about your grandparents, but passing on the Word of God and things about God are the best things you can give to your children. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, and this is the father begging and pleading with his children, God the Father begging and pleading with us, get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. You know, if a person has good judgment, how important is that? Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. What does a father want of his daughters? He wants them to be safe. He wants to keep them from harm, from the things that the world has to offer and that can so damage children for a lifetime. There's so many things out there, and fathers kind of plead with their daughters to pay attention. Don't go do that because I don't want you to be harmed. I remember when my daughters were growing up that they would do stuff they shouldn't do, and I'd always pray, God, help them to get in enough trouble to get caught and to get their attention, but please don't let them get in so much trouble that it lasts the rest of their lives with the effect of what they did. And you want the best for your kids, and when they listen and when you can give them that instruction and they think about it before they do something stupid or something harmful, then they're protected and they're guarded. The most important thing that can be passed on to our children. Proverbs 4 verse 7, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Whatever else you do, develop good judgment. The today's English version on develop good judgment says, whatever else you get insight. Now, if you recall the camp video this year, and the theme of camp is getting insight and developing leadership as a result of it. Getting insight, that's what we want to get across at camp, to help them to be able to look into the Bible and to glean lessons from it. And exactly what you parents were doing with your children today in the first part of this service was that. As you take the Word of God and it talks about work, well, insight, what does it mean to work? What does it mean to persevere? What does it mean to do these things the Bible talks about, and you can use the Bible as a guide to your everyday life, and to respect others and all of the things that are there in the Scripture, and you get insight into it. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. It reminds me of the phrase, learning the moral reason why, that we learned in Growing Kids God's Way. It's not just doing the right thing, but it's explaining to your children why they're doing the right thing, why it is they need to respect others, why it is we need to work. The title of the McKeon's presentation is, well, why? You know, what are the benefits of doing God's way? And looking into and getting insight into the Scripture, and when you can help explain that to your children and explain, and some of it is a matter of explaining, I'll tell you what, I did it wrong, if you did. And this is what happened as a result. Now, if you can do it a different way, and here's how we can go about doing it the right way. So that's insight, and it's okay to learn from our mistakes. We should be learning from our mistakes. Learning the moral reasons why, developing good judgment. Proverbs 4, verse 8, treasure wisdom, and it will make you great. Hold on to it, and it will bring you honor. You know, when you're doing the right thing, we had several awards that we talked about that your children got at school. They're doing the right things, and they got some honors for it, even in a physical sense, from the world. And, of course, we'll get great honor for doing the right thing when we are brought into the kingdom of God. And when we can get that across to our children, how very, very important it is. Proverbs 4, verse 10, my child, listen to me. Do as I say, and you will have a good, long life. Again, going back to honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and you might have a long life. And if you kids can learn to listen to your parents, things will go well for you. Proverbs 4:11, he says, I will teach you wisdom and lead you in the straight paths. Now, the Hebrew words there are kind of interesting. The word teach, where it says, I will teach you wisdom, is darak in Hebrew, and it means to cause to go, to lead, to march, to tread. I mean, there's kind of a powerful sense here. It's not a kind of, oh, honey, whatever you want to do, that'll be fine. You know, just, you know, as long as it makes you happy, well, that's okay. It's not that kind of a word. It means to cause to go, to lead, to march. And it comes from a word for an archer bending a bow with a foot. How many of you have done archery? Okay. Now, and I'm not talking about one of those wimpy little compound bows where it doesn't take much, but I'm talking about like the real heavy bow. Where, and how do you string your bow? Well, and I don't remember exactly now, but when I was growing up, my dad had a big bow, and I had one that was, for me, pretty good size, and you gotta put your foot down on it, and put the bottom of the bow on there, and then give it a bend, and then string it up. But you gotta put your foot to it. And those big bows, you can't just, you know, string it without putting your foot to it. It's a very strong word. Remember, my mom would with us kids, when it was time to do something, my mom would say, march! It's time to go to bed. Well, I don't want to. I told you to go to bed. Now march! You know, it's that type of a thing. And you went. I mean, when she said march, well, you know, she meant something. And she even used that terminology. And when you're teaching your children, there are good principles, there are positive things from the Word of God, and it's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 what? Commandments! Look, this is the way it's going to be. And with our kids, sometimes we need to make that stand. Now, we want them to internalize God's Word, the best teaching is for them to learn the moral reason why and do it because it's best for them, and they see that if I respect somebody, then that'll help them, and the family grows together, and all of these good reasons why. But there are times where, because I said so, is a good enough reason. Now, if that's all you do, you're not teaching the moral reason why. But it's not like, it's like, this is the way the family does, and that's the way you're going to be. I remember I had to tell my, especially one daughter, that, you know, she wanted to go do what she wanted. And I said, I think I've told this story before. And I said, where are you going to live? She says, what do you mean? Well, you want to go do that, and that's not what we do as a family. So if you're going to go do that, then where are you going to live? Well, here. I said, no, not and do that. Here we do this. You know, that's a march. You know, I will teach you, and it's pretty firm. The second part of that, teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in the straight paths. The word yara in Hebrew is to flow as water. In other words, it's coming. It's not that you always just preach at your children. It's through example when you rise up and when you lie down. And it's not a matter of just preaching to them, but on the other hand, it comes from the word to throw, especially an arrow, or to shoot. To point out as if aiming a finger to teach. Now, for those of you that know my Aunt Nancy Sass up in northern Arizona, I remember when she was raising her four kids, she had, and she would literally do that, is she would, like, you ever throw your finger at your kids? Okay, to lead you. Okay, you're going to do that. Don't you dare talk back. And she'd throw the finger, and all she needed to do is point that finger. And those kids, well, they knew that that meant serious. Like my mom would say, march. And there were times when my mom would say, march. And she'd throw the finger, and she'd make me march. Okay, but it's very positive when you're teaching them, and it's saying, don't equivocate. God's way is right. Now again, teaching the moral reason why is the best way to teach, but yet you know and you should know the right way and you should be firm in doing so. Proverbs 4 verse 12, when you do those things, when you walk in the right way, when you march in the right direction, when you have the moral reasons why and when you have right judgments, nothing will stand in your way if you walk wisely. And you won't stumble when you run. You know, when you're moving forward, you'll keep moving forward in a positive direction, and God will help you. God will guide you. He'll be with you when you're using right principles. Verse 13, always remember what you've learned. Your education is your life, and guard it well. Do any of you, when you look in the mirror for the day, see your mom or your dad looking back at you? I thought this was kind of an interesting photo here, or however that was made up. But here's a young man looking in the mirror, and he sees his dad looking back at him. You know, the words of your parents, even if you're old, probably still ring in your ears, and words that make you stop and think and adjust what you're doing. And do the right thing. And that's what you want for your own children, is that they'll never forget. And as I said earlier, when they're thinking back in 10 years from now on today and what they did and what you worked putting together with them and the things that they've learned and the direction you're teaching them, that you'll be looking back at them. And when they walk out that door at graduation and they're out on their own and they're in northern Arizona or they moved to California or wherever they're going, or if they've moved from Nevada and they're here in Arizona, that you're remembering the good things and the right things that you have been taught. So thanks, dads, for the wisdom that comes from looking at God's Word, from learning from the mistakes that give direction and guidance, as God's Word gives us all direction and guidance. And thank you for the wisdom. and thanks for being dad.